Insights tuned to yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark LeVellier. In this hour, Mystery Later On, Let George Do It, from 1948. But first, a broadcast of suspense called Blood on the Trumpet, a CBS radio episode from November 9th, 1950.
Autolite and its 96,000 dealers present Suspense. Tonight, Autolite brings you Blood on the Trumpet, a suspense play starring Mr. William Holden, with special trumpet effects by the famous Ziggy Elman.
I don't get to this part of New Orleans much, Sergeant Juno.
I used to come and listen at the jazz once in a while.
Well, who's been on the case?
Me and Lieutenant Angelini. We've been on a study for 48 hours.
Mm-hmm. This the place, Juno?
Yeah, this is it.
Well, it's not exactly a respectable-looking hotel.
When a man runs from murder, Castro, he can't stop to live in style. Mm.
Who found the body?
Landlady, she called in.
Messy, huh?
When you beat somebody's head in with a thing like a trumpet, it's real messy. All right, Castro, this is it.
Me to kick it in?
No, Put your horn down, Vic. This is Sergeant Juno of the New Orleans Police. Put the horn down. Come out, kid. Come out with no monkey business.
Let me break it down.
No way.
The police. Oh, I'm glad it's the police. I'm so glad it's the police and not him.
Vic, in the presence of Police Officer Cassou, I arrest you for the murder of your wife. Want a cigarette?
No.
You done a good job on her, boy.
Thanks.
Oh, here's my report, Castro. Get to Steno to type up 3 carbons and give 1 to Lieutenant Angelini.
Angelini?
Yeah, Vic, Lieutenant Angelini. He's the big boy in charge of the case. Very famous in New Orleans.
Yeah, I've heard of him. Eichstadt told me about him.
All right, Vic. Let's start from the reason why you killed Sarah, your wife.
I didn't have a reason. It just happened. We had a fight. I don't know. I'm all mixed up.
Come on, Vic, boy. Try hard for Sergeant Juno. Go back to when it started.
When it started? Who can say when it started? Maybe it started the first day I married Sarah. In my own mind, I don't know. Or maybe it started when I started playing trumpet in Lou Eichstadt's club down in the French Quarter. They call me great. Real great. The best trumpet since Beiderbecker Armstrong. Everybody thought so. Everybody. Everybody but Sarah, my wife. She didn't. She had different ideas about it. She couldn't understand a man loving music.
Has-been. You're a has-been. Only you never went anywhere to be a has-been. You were always a second-rate horn blower, and you'll never be anything else. Do you hear me? Never anything else.
Oh, Sarah, these walls are like paper.
So let him hear. I don't care. Let him know what a bum I've got for a husband. I'm sick of your talk. I'm sick of you. Turn that lousy record off.
Leave it on. Sarah, you got cotton in your ears. I said leave it on.
All day long, the same record around and around.
I said put it back on.
It makes me sick.
Sarah!
Always the same song and dance. A little time, Sarah, a little time.
Sarah, please.
You're a dreamer. You blow pipe dreams through that horn you play.
Shut up!
Wait, Sarah, wait. My ship will come in. Sure, I'll wait. While I'm waiting, you beat your brains out blowing a horn in a cheap dive. Your ship sunk, and you don't know it. You know something? I wish I was dead. Do you hear that trumpet, man? I wish I was dead.
Sarah, when you talk like that, I wish I could kill you myself and make your wish come true. For 5 years, the same argument over and over, and the same words, they never changed. I was late getting to the club, but I didn't care. Sarah talking to me like that. The first set, I was so sore I didn't need anything to make me hop. I blew that horn by the beat of my blood.
Hey.
We got our first break after the second set, and Lou, the owner of the club, came over and took my arm. Said he had somebody he wanted me to meet.
Oh, over here, Vic, my great trumpet man.
What's up, Lou?
Oh, a girl's up, Vic. A music lover who'd like to meet you. Miss Luana Duran, meet my trumpet man, Victor Roberts.
How do you do?
Hi.
Sit down, Victor, sit down. Talk some music. Talk some old-time jazz. Entertain Miss Duran, Victor. Talk about the jazz we play, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Sit down, Vic.
Thanks.
Buy you a drink?
This water's strong enough.
You're good on that trumpet, Vic.
Think so?
Mm-hmm.
Pin a medal on me.
Hey, look, horn boy. You don't have to sit here and talk to me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I tell you what I'll do, Miss Duran. I'll let you buy me that drink, and you can tell me the story of your life.
That sounds like a bargain.
She ordered up, and we sat and talked. She told me the story. It was a brutal one. A sick father and a rotten mother. So to get away from it all, she married young. A musician that had had a sickness beside music. He drank himself to death. But from him, she'd learned something. She'd learned to love music, which was why she canvassed jazz joints. She said she'd been in every night for almost 2 weeks now, listening to our combo. She thought we were good, particularly the bright boy on the trumpet, me. The guys were moving up for the next set, so I made my excuses and left her. Lou Eichstadt stopped me by the platform.
Lay off, Vic. It's no good.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about trouble. There's another guy. A rough guy. A guy that's a mean cop. A guy that doesn't deserve the name cop. And he wants her bad. He comes in every night, sits over in that corner and watches her.
I don't see him tonight.
Rico Angelini is a bad name for you to mix with.
Look, Lou, take it easy. I just met her.
Lay off, Vic. Go home to Sarah, your wife.
We finished the last set about 1. The table where Luana had been sitting was empty. Then one of the waiters came up and handed me a napkin. I looked at it. It had an address written on it in lipstick. Blood red lipstick. Capitular Hotel, Canal Street. I started to fold it up and toss it away, but then suddenly I thought about Sarah. And I didn't toss it away. I shoved it in my pocket and walked out. It took me 15 minutes to get back to the boarding house. The light up in our room was still on, and Sarah was still up. And just like that, against the pull-down shade, I saw 2 shadows. One was the shadow of Sarah, and the other, the shadow of a man. I choked, and my breath came hard. My Sarah, my own Sarah, with some other guy. I waited 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Then the light snapped out. I went up the stairs onto the porch and ducked behind a swing. The front door opened and the outline of a big guy came out and went down the steps. I couldn't see his face, but as he passed under the street lamp, I could see he was wearing a green checkered shirt collar. Sarah, my own sweet little nagging wife, two-timing me, playing me for a sap. I took the napkin out of my pocket. Thanks, Sarah. For helping me to decide. Then I went where the lipstick told me.
Hi, trumpet man.
Hi.
Did the lipstick smudge?
I'm here. It didn't smudge.
Want to come in?
Lou Eichstadt says to lay off.
He's your father, maybe?
What do you want?
A ride? How about a ride in my fast car, Vic?
A ride this time of morning?
I know a little place where they serve good black coffee.
I've had kind of a rough time tonight. I'm tired.
Too tired for some good black coffee?
Oh, this is all crazy.
A cup of black coffee and small talk? I like your looks. That's all.
That's all? You think that's all?
Down by the wharf? That's my last offer, trumpet man.
I asked for it, didn't I? We went down and got into her car, and she headed straight for the wharf. At Chiarello's, the lights were low, the music was soft, and the coffee was good. We sat and talked, and pretty soon we got back into her car and drove close to the river. She stopped the car and looked up at me. Her eyes were real black. She moved her lips close to mine. Those blood-red lips. What's Angeliti?
How did you know? Oh, Lou Eichstadt, I get it.
Who is he? What is he?
A cop. I met him somewhere one night. He's called me a couple of times, but that's all.
That's all?
That's all, Trumpet Man. Nothing ever like this. Vic, let's go away, just you and I.
That's not possible.
Why? Tell me why it isn't possible.
I have a wife. Now, it makes a difference, doesn't it?
No, Vic. No, it doesn't. Why should it make a difference?
I don't know. I just thought maybe it would.
Vic, this can be for keeps.
You really mean it, don't you?
Let's go away and you'll see how much I mean it. Let's go away together. Leave her. We'll go away and start something new.
Oh, Luana, I'm all mixed up in my mind. I meet you in one night. You don't even know me. We hardly know each other. And...
I like the way you look. Vic, let's go away. Let's go away in a little while.
I don't know.
I'll wait for you, Vic. I'll wait for you at the hotel.
All right. All right, baby, you wait for me at the hotel.
No. Press hard on my lips, Vic. Real hard, just like you do on your trumpet.
Something that had been hard for me to settle was easy now. I was through with Sarah, my great big headache. I was finished, and she wouldn't yell at me anymore, or cheat anymore. I could go away now, go away from her and her nagging voice, away from Sarah, and away from hate.
You, Vic?
Yeah, me, Vic.
Where have you been all night? It's 4 o'clock in the morning.
Your voice makes me sick.
What should I think?
What should you think?
A no-good bum husband who stays out all night.
Now, be quiet for 1 minute, and I'll tell you a secret, my sinful wife. I'm leaving you. I'm going away.
You're going away? You're insane. What do you think?
Oh, it's time, Sarah. I finally woke up from that crazy sleep I was in. I'm leaving you.
So, you're leaving me?
Yes, I'm leaving you. We don't make the right kind of music anymore.
Music? Is that what you call it? No, it's not music. It's a hell. That's all it's ever been. You hear me? Everything I've ever done, every sacrifice I've ever made, in just a simple sentence you make, it's all over.
Just as simple as that.
Maybe it just isn't music. Maybe it's something else. Like maybe another woman.
Sarah.
I knew it. I smelled it. Someone else. That's it, isn't it, Vic?
Sarah, stop it. Don't say another word.
Who is she? Some music lover you picked up? Who is she? Answer me.
Be quiet.
Who is she? Who is she, you dirty chick?
I said be quiet. You make me sick.
You hit me. You hit me. I'll show you, you dirty lass. I'll show you.
Stop it, sir.
Switch
stop
me
your
around, run. Will you?
Sarah. Get up, Sarah. I didn't mean to... Sarah, I said to get up. I didn't... Sarah, what's the matter? Why don't you... Oh, Sarah, you're bleeding. I didn't mean to, Sarah. Oh, no. No, Sarah, no. No. Something banged against my head. I turned over on my back and opened my eyes. And then I sat up. I was in bed, and the banging noise became a shade flapping against the window of a cheap hotel where I was hiding out. I got up off the bed and moved over to the window. The clock down across the street said 2:30. The sun was high and hot. I remember running from a boarding house last night. Running until I found this cheap hotel. What does a killer do? He runs. He runs from everything. I found a nickel in my pants pocket. And on this nickel, I pinned my hopes for survival. I call Luana.
Hello?
Luana, Vic.
What happened, trumpet boy? She talk you out of it?
Luana, wait. Please listen to me. Now listen to me close and try not to get excited.
Hey, you sound as if...
Luana, look. After I left you, I went home to tell Sarah I was leaving her. She got mad. She got real mad, so... Well, I got a little rough, and... Well, what I did, I didn't mean to do.
Baby, she... Vic, what is it? What happened?
I hit her a couple of times. I hit her, and she fell, and...
Vic!
It was an accident. A mistake, Lana. I didn't mean it. I don't know how it happened. It was so fast, I just got mad, and...
Vic, baby.
Luana, listen, I've got to get out of town. I've got to run. I can't go back to the house.
Where are you?
Oh, some cheap hotel, the Piedmont, just off Decatur. I need money. You've got to help me.
What can I do?
Get me enough money to get us out of town.
But, Vic...
You said it. Last night you said we'd go away together.
Vic...
Meet me.
When?
Now, half an hour.
No, you better stay right there. No one will spot you. Stay where you are till it's dark, then meet me.
Where and what time?
Tonight at 7 o'clock when it gets dark. Down near the end of the coffee stand in the Café du Monde.
All right, tonight at 7. Down near the end of the stand where it's dark.
I hung up. I couldn't stay in the hotel. My picture was probably spread over every paper in town. Maybe the clerk remembered me coming in. I'd better get out and move around. I went down to Decatur Street. It was starting to fill with late afternoon shoppers. I walked up and down the streets until 4 o'clock. And then I found an almost empty cafe and went in and ordered a cup of coffee. I was sitting there, staring ahead, trying to clear my mind when suddenly I felt a big flabby hand grip my shoulder. I turned and looked up into the beady gray eyes of the Batman with the green checkered shirt collar.
Why did you do it, Vic?
Jumped up and with all my strength, I shoved both arms straight out and hit him in the stomach. I could feel both of my fists sink into the pounds and pounds of flesh. And then he was reeling backward, knocking over chairs and people. And I was running out the door and down the street. I slowed down, mixing in with the people pushing along. How was it possible? The guy that had been up in that room with my wife. Was it just a coincidence that he found me, or was he really looking for me? Time. Before, I had no time. Now I had too much of it. I passed a movie theater. I stopped. Keep off the streets until dark. That was it. I went in. I don't even remember the name of the picture. I couldn't even concentrate on it. Because all the time I kept thinking about the fat man. What did he want with me? Was it really just a coincidence that he'd spotted me?
The picture ended and the lights went up. I crouched down low in my seat, staring straight ahead. And then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw him. He was walking up the aisle, looking up each row of seats. He was looking for me. I turned my head and held my hand up to the side of my face. He was coming closer now. He was at the next row. The lights went out and the newsreel started. I moved quick. I stumbled into the aisle and out in the lobby and got lost in the crowd of people leaving the show. It was no use. I couldn't shake him. Everywhere I turned, he was there. What did he want? Did he want to kill me? Kill me for murdering Sarah? Was that it? But that was my own business. If I wanted to kill my wife, that was my business. Oh, no. Bad reasoning. I hadn't wanted to kill her. I ran until I thought my legs would drop. And then it was 7 o'clock, and I was down by the pier. There were a few people drinking coffee at the stand. I walked down to the far end, and then I saw her coming. Luana!
Vic!
Over here.
Oh, Vic, you're crazy. The cops are looking all over
you. Oh, I don't care about the cops. It's him.
What are you talking about?
The guy that was with Sarah, the big fat guy. He's after me. All day long he's been after me. Luana, we got to get out of here.
Vic, you're crazy. You're all mixed up. You don't know what you're talking about.
I'm not mixed up, Luana. I tell you, he's looking for me right now. Any minute he might show up.
Vic, maybe you better give yourself up. Maybe it would...
For you. Don't you understand? I did this for you.
I didn't ask you to kill her. I didn't... Vic, stop it. You're hurting me.
All I need now is for you to turn against
Vic,
me.
Vic, let me go. Let me...
Luana, come back. Please, come back. For you. I did it for you, you dirty, filthy...
Hello, Victor.
What do you want? What do you want from me?
I
want
to give what's coming to you, killer. I'll get you now, killer. I'll get you now. Because you're finally cracked.
It was no good. I just couldn't run anymore. Everywhere I turned, he was there. I was being hunted by a guy with murder in his heart. Can you understand that, Juno? I made it back to the hotel, and I was waiting for him when you guys showed up. I never knew I'd be so glad to see the police. I never knew I'd be so glad.
Mm-hmm. The girl turns you in, Vic.
Luana.
She cried, Victor. She cried when she told us where you were.
I guess maybe she did right.
Yeah, I guess she did. All right, sign this confession. Castro, call in Lieutenant Angelini.
Lieutenant, want to come in and look at the killer?
Hello, Vic.
It's him. The fat guy.
Take it easy, Vic, boy. Take it easy.
Why? He made me go out of my mind. A cop was chasing me.
I just wanted to see a killer run, Vic.
Find the confession, Vic.
No. No, this confession is all wrong. The part about the trumpet, this is all wrong. I didn't hit her with a trumpet.
Come on, trumpet boy, sign.
No, Angelini, I won't sign it. I didn't hit her with a trumpet.
You're crazy.
I won't. Something smells, something...
Hey, look, you, I'm tired. You give me a good chase, you make a confession, now you sign it.
No, I won't do it. This isn't what I said. I never said anything about hitting her with a trumpet. I hit her with my fist and she...
You're crazy. You murdered your wife in cold blood. You went up there after you finished at the club. You had an argument. Then you smashed her head in with a trumpet. Then you wiped the blood off the trumpet.
Hey, wait a second, Angelina.
Shut up, Juno. Can't you see this guy's stalling? Now, come on, killer.
No, I won't shut up, Angelina.
Hey, now, listen.
My typed report's still on my desk. You haven't read it yet.
Well, so what if I have?
So I was the guy that went up there and tabbed the body. When I got back, I briefed you. I made the report out. You just said you didn't read it. Well, there was something in that report I didn't bother to tell you about. I didn't think it was that important. I didn't tell you that the blood had been wiped off of the trumpet. There were only two people who knew that. Me, Lieutenant Angelini. Me and the killer.
Why, you...
Juno, it was Angelini.
Hey, you lousy boy.
Juno, it fits. What Luana said to me, what Lou Eichstadt said, it fits. This guy framed me.
I'll break your neck.
Take it easy, Angelina.
He was nuts for her. Only she couldn't see him for dust. He must have spotted me that first night with her. He followed me. He was the guy Sarah was with when I got home. He was waiting for me.
I'll kill you.
Grab him, Castro. Grab him.
Lieutenant. Easy. Filthy trumpet boy. Filthy.
You framed me, Angelini. Why?
Look at me, trumpet man. Look hard at my extra flesh and tell me why I would frame a man like you.
Luana.
Your wife wasn't dead when I went up there the second time. Her head was cut on the side. She was bleeding. She wasn't dead.
You're under arrest, Angelini. I can't say I'm sorry. You're a disgrace to the force. All right, Vic, that's all I need from you. You can go now.
Hey, you. She's waiting for you outside.
Luana.
And she's crying for you. Juno. Bright Sergeant Juno. Hey. You think if maybe I wasn't so fat, she would have cried some tears for me?
Sure, Angelini, sure. She might have cried for you.
Suspense, presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Mr. William Holden. Next week on Suspense, Mr. Cary Grant as star of On a Country Road. And in weeks to come, you will hear such famous stars as Ozzie Nelson and Harriet Hilliard and Van Heflin appearing in tales well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Suspense is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed by Lucian Moravec and conducted by Lud Gluskin, with special trumpet effects by Ziggy Ellman. Blood on the Trumpet was written for Suspense by Richard George Pedicini.
And remember, next week on Suspense, Mr. Cary Grant in On a Country Road.
Suspense, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 9th of November, 1950 on CBS. featuring at that time one of Hollywood's most recognizable and successful movie actors, William Holden. It was in that year that he starred in two very notable motion pictures, Oscar-nominated and Oscar-winning, one being director George Cukor's Born Yesterday, the other where Holden starred alongside Gloria Swanson in director Billy Wilder's Sunset Boulevard. This is an hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now it's time for a broadcast of Let George Do It called A Piece of Publicity, heard on the Mutual Broadcasting System on June 14, 1948.
Standard of California, on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and Standard stations throughout the West, invites you to Let George Do It. Another adventure of George Valentine.
Personal notice, danger is my stock and trade. If you need confidential help with anything you can't tackle alone, you've got a job for me, George Valentine. Write full details.
Dear Mr. Valentine, no doubt you have heard of me. My name is on circus billboards all over the city. Martha Dvorak, the most glamorous trapeze artist in the world. My work requires nerves of steel, but instead I'm shaking like a jellyfish. I've great fear. Fear for my life, and cannot go to the police. Do not trouble to answer this. I will not take no for an answer.
Take no for an answer. I may even be in your office before you receive this letter.
Oh?
So be sure to expect me. Signed, Martha Dvorak.
Well, the young lady on the flying trapeze has a quaint way of setting up her words.
And have you seen those posters, George? I'll bet there isn't a male in the audience who doesn't sit there wishing Martha would fall into his lap.
That's a very charming thought. But I wish she was more specific about this great fear for her life.
Well, I'm giving odds there's a rejected suitor involved.
Oh, come on, woman. Stop acting like a woman.
If you read the tabloids, darling, you'd know Marta's left quite a trail of broken hearts.
A femme fatale, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
I am Martha Dvorak.
Ooh.
If you are Mr. Valentine, please ask this young lady to leave. We want to be alone.
Oh, now look, Mr. Dvorak, this is Miss Brooks, my assistant.
You have no objection to being alone with me. Besides, that is the only way I will discuss this business.
Oh, honest, Mr. Dvorak, I'm over 21, if that's what you're worried about.
Well, Mr. Valentine.
Amscray, Brooksy.
Huh?
See you later. Well, now, Mr. Dvorak, what can I do for you?
First, you can call me Marta.
Oh, how nice. Marta? Well?
From now on, until the death-defying Dvoraks leave here, you must be with me at my side all the time.
Oh, now, wait a minute. That's a tall order, Marta.
Here. Read this note.
Huh? Get $5,000 in small bills and wait for further instructions. You will either pay or meet with a bad accident. Don't take this to the police. You are being watched. Well, that's certainly to the point.
So you see, I'm helpless, George. I'm like a little girl in a bad dream.
Yeah. And as I get it, you want me to act as your bodyguard.
Yes. You will bodyguard me every minute.
Look, why don't you stick close to your family, the other death-defying Dvoraks? They wouldn't let anything happen to you.
My family? They're not my family at all.
Oh, well, live and learn.
It just looks good on the circus posters. The three others. Sometimes I think they hate me. Oh, they're jealous. They know the people come to see me and not them.
I see what you mean.
I do not even stay at the same hotel with them. I've rented a little house up in the canyon.
Well, look, you know, this may turn out to be just a crank note. The words are all cut out of magazines and newspapers.
Somebody wishes to see me die, crushed, defeated. You would not let that happen to me, would you, George?
Well, now, look.
You will bodyguard me. I would be so grateful. Many dollars grateful.
Oh, well, okay, it's a deal. You've convinced me.
Oh, that is wonderful. I think I will kiss you.
Huh?
No, I will not even think. I will kiss you.
Oh, no. Wait a minute, Marty. Oh, please, Marty. I'd rather have you as a friend.
Oh, you are cute, George. Always you joke.
Yeah. Now, what are your plans for the day?
I have a rehearsal right now at the circus. Will you meet me at the matinee?
Yeah, I'll be seeing you.
Come early so you can see my act. Oops, sorry. Of course you were not listening at the door.
Oh, of course I was. In fact, I was peeking through the keyhole.
Really? Au revoir, George.
Yes, so long.
Well, Casanova?
Hmm? Oh, that kiss.
Well, you know, Brooksy, these artists, so impulsive.
Nice fight you put up. George.
Oh, now, Angel, it's all business.
Well, if you think I'm going to let you traipse around with that high-flying she-wolf...
Temper, I'll be on
your heels every minute.
Oh, now, Brooksy, you can't do that.
Oh, can't I? From now on, I'll be known as the Shadow.
Well, Miss Brooks, after you phoned, I made a full check on the Dvorak dame.
And what'd you find out, Lieutenant Riley?
Your little hunch was right. She's playing your boyfriend for a patsy in a little game known as space grabbing. Publicity.
I see.
She's either pulled or tried to pull this threatening note gag in every city where the circus stopped. She was driving the police nuts till they got wise to her.
Yeah. But if I know George, it won't make any difference to him. He's as stubborn as a tray of ice cubes. He keeps saying, but suppose this note is on the level.
Well, cheer up, cheer up. Nobody's going to take away Valentine's Dick Tracy button just for looking for a boogeyman who isn't there.
Yes, but, Lieutenant, he's no more than a hired man with nothing to do. Nothing but hang around that international pinup girl and stare at that man-wanted sign in her eyes. Oh, Lieutenant Riley.
I know it's almost time for your act to go on, Mr. Dvorak.
Whatever you want to know about little Martha, I can tell you, Mr. Valentine. People think I'm her father. Well, I am her father, confessor, her teacher, the great Leo Dvorak, who taught her everything she knows today.
Yes, but about that note...
I'm heartsick about Martha. After everything I've done for her, she's thinking of leaving the act and going to Hollywood. The thought is not easy to bear. But, of course, I wish her all good luck. Of course I do.
I don't know anything about that note, Mr. Valentine. But I'll tell you something.
Well?
Everything is Martha, Martha, Martha. But does anyone know there's a girl named Risa in the act, too? Yet I go up there every performance.
Yes, I'm sure you have a very important place in the act, Risa,
oh,
but...
yes. I help the others build suspense for her big moment. So people will think of nothing else but what would happen to that beautiful body if she fell. Oh, don't talk to me about Martha.
Risa, you were going to tell me something.
Yes, Mr. Valentine. I hate her.
Yes, Mr. Valentine, I'm the one who catches Martha up there.
Yes, Dorian, Leo told me.
I have her life in my hands. One little slip, an accident, and no one would know the difference. I tell her that when she makes a fool of me, goes out with other men, she just laughs. She knows I could never hurt her. I love her too much.
But, Dorian, you still didn't tell me if you know who might have sent her that letter.
Letter? Oh, I'm sorry, I know nothing about it. Now, if you'll excuse me, our queue is coming up.
George! Hey, George!
George, I've been talking to Lieutenant Riley, and I was right. That woman's a phony. This is a publicity stunt.
Okay, Brooksy, okay. So I'm playing the fall guy in a publicity stunt.
Mm-hmm.
But it would make it a lot easier if you'd stop following me around.
Oh, George.
Oh, all right, come on.
Attention, please, for the thrilling highlight of the afternoon. That sensational European act, a breathless duel with the law of gravity. And there they are, ladies and gentlemen, 200 feet above your very head, the one and only death-defying Dvorak. Between her and death.
George.
Yeah.
Oh, George, he's dropping her.
No, he's still got her in one hand.
George!
Hey, somebody lower the trapeze.
Oh, George, I can't look.
I was on the trapeze above her. I saw when Dorian reached out to catch her, she deliberately slipped one hand out of his.
You don't know what you're saying.
It's crazy.
Teresa is right, of course.
Martha.
That is what I did, exactly.
Just one hand, Martha. I might have dropped you.
No, Dorian, darling. You would have let your arm come off before you let me fall.
When will you learn to think of the act, the act?
All those thousands of people will never stop talking about what they think nearly happened to me. And tomorrow, the newspapers, they will be beautiful. Shall I go, George?
Hurry up, Mr. Borak. All I can get is a nervous breakdown.
I just love camping out in the lobby of your apartment house, darling. I suppose you think you're cute giving me the slip tonight. George, why have you got your hand over your eye?
Oh, it's nothing.
Well, let me see.
Okay, nosy, look.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. A black eye, an overgrown mouth.
Oh, I can see that, but where did you get it?
Well, it seems someone else besides you decided to follow me.
Oh?
And after I dropped Marta off at the canyon, he caught up with me.
Who's he?
Oh, I don't know, Angel. I was tripping gaily past a dark alley, and I encountered a king-sized fist.
Hmm. Well, I wouldn't put it past Marta to have someone pop you like that, just to keep you interested till the circus leaves town.
Well, Brooksy, you'll be happy to know I told Marta I was off the merry-go-round.
Well, it took you a week to say uncle, but congratulations.
George! George!
Uh-oh, the call of the wild.
Oh, now, don't tell me. Is it fire, flood, or pestilence this
Another
time?
Note, George.
Oh, no.
I found it in my mailbox.
Look, Marta, dear, won't your bodyguard's black eye get you enough space in the papers tomorrow?
What? Oh, George, I was so upset. I did not know.
Yeah, thanks. Got a spare filet mignon in your pocketbook? Okay, what about the note?
Here.
Oh, what do you know? So far, you have obeyed instructions. We know there is no circus tomorrow, so be at your house with the $5,000 and be there alone.
But, George, I cannot be alone. I'm too frightened.
Pardon me for being cynical, but you don't frighten easy. Am I supposed to forget what you did on that trapeze to get another publicity story for your scrapbook?
Oh, but I'm so sure something terrible would happen to me.
Frankly, Marta, I don't believe a word you've told me.
Hallelujah.
George, how can you say that?
However...
Yes?
I will stay with you out at the canyon tomorrow.
But you just said you didn't believe a word
she... I know, Brooksy, I know. But you see, I've had one eye closed for me tonight.
Well?
Well, strangely enough, I'm beginning to see things a lot clearer now with the other one.
And now back to tonight's adventure of George Valentine. Well, George was convinced that Marta Dvorak, glamorous trapeze artiste, hired him as a bodyguard strictly for the sweet uses of a publicity. Then a black eye administered in the darkness by person or persons unknown, strangely enough, opened his eyes to something that still remains to be seen. At any rate, George is back on the job. And he and Marta are alone now in her house on Canyon Road, just outside of town.
Look, Marta, stop waving that $5,000 around like cigar coupons. It makes me nervous.
Oh, I just... thought I would have it ready for those people so there would be no unpleasantness.
Yeah. How is it that last night you were quaking in your little open-toe sandals and today you're a blind spirit?
How can I be afraid of anything when you are so near me?
Yeah.
But not half so near enough. Now, if we were like this, I could laugh in the face of anyone who came in that door. Anyone.
Everybody, now, isn't this just too cozy?
So, you, Miss Brooks.
Uh-huh.
How dare you?
Don't laugh so hard, Mark.
Doesn't anyone have a kind word for a poor police lieutenant on his day off?
Oh, I thought you always went fishing, Lieutenant Riley.
Well, Miss Brooks here persuaded me it would be better sport to get a load of Operation Phony.
Miss Brooks, this is your idea of humor.
Oh, I know you didn't expect visitors, so I brought along the loveliest picnic basket. Liverwurst, knockwurst, pick-a-lily.
Oh, Martha, you have made me so happy.
Leo.
Who's
a
this?
A visitor.
I cannot tell you how I felt when you invited me here for today.
What? I invited you. I never did.
But that is very strange. A young lady called the hotel and left a message.
What young lady? Who could have done a thing like... Oh.
Oh, we may as well know each other. Mr. Dvorak, this is Lieutenant Riley.
How do you do?
Harry.
Yes, very happy, Martha. We have not been very close together lately.
Oh, please, Leo.
I wonder if I brought enough pick-a-lily for everybody.
Pick-a-lily? What is this pick-a-lily, young lady?
Why don't you come out and let me show you, Leo? I have to put these things in the refrigerator anyway.
Oh, this is wonderful. Oh, I'm always crazy for a quiet day in the country.
Oh, I could kill somebody.
And I think I know who.
Me too.
Well, Martha, here I am.
Dorian, not you too? And Reese?
Yes, I met Teresa getting out of a cab when I drove up.
When I got your message inviting me to spend the day here, I decided
no,
to come.
No, I will kill
just
somebody.
Just to see what it is you're up to now.
But these people, Marta, we're going to be alone. On the phone, that's what the young lady said.
Oh, now, there's a young lady who gets around.
Are you again making a fool of me, Marta?
Please, Doria, not one of your scenes.
Ah, this fresh country air. Congenial company. Yes, Valentine, I think this is going to be a day to remember.
I will not go back into that house.
Oh, now, Marta, that's not being a charming hostess.
It is already evening, and they just sit there.
Well, that should be all right with you. Have you forgotten that note? There's safety in numbers, you know. Now, come on, let's get inside.
All right.
Hey, hold it.
Huh?
Didn't you take in your mail today?
Of course. Why?
Here's a letter in the mailbox.
I'm in no mood for letters.
Huh? Huh?
Yes?
Another one of those little love notes.
Silly. Impossible.
Yeah, but here it is.
But I told you, it is impossible. It cannot be. I did not...
You didn't what?
Never mind. Let me have it.
Well, what does it say?
It says, you did not live up to the bargain. You invited a house full of people. You know what to expect now. George... George.
Oh, look, you don't have to put on that act for my benefit, Marta. We're all troopers now.
But I tell you, this is real.
You've been writing these notes to yourself, haven't you?
I know I will not make you believe me, but I've got to get away from here, I'm afraid.
Hey, wait a minute, Marta.
Afraid of everybody.
Hey, don't be a fool.
I've got to get away from here.
Okay, okay, if you want to see who can run faster. But this is your last temperamental fling with me.
Oh, look, Miss Brooks, look, I pounded the beat for 15 years before I became a lieutenant. My feet hurt. They're killing me. Come on, let's get back to the house.
But Lieutenant George and Maude have been away so long, I'm really worried.
Yeah, worried they're smooching somewhere.
Oh, maybe George was right and those notes weren't phony.
Anything connected with that dame has to be phony. Now, come on, let's get back to the house.
Okay. Well, let's take one look up here in the lemon grove.
All right, but take it easy. Wait till I put the flashlight on.
Lieutenant,
what?
Look, over there.
Valentine.
George.
Wait till I have a look at him.
Oh. Hello, everybody.
Oh, George.
I was just thinking of getting up anyway.
What happened?
I was with Marta, trying to talk some sense into her.
Yeah?
Suddenly somebody staged an atomic test right in back of me. That's all I know. Hey, where is Marta anyway?
Here's your answer. She's right here.
How is she?
I'll tell you in a minute.
George. Look, that money scattered all over.
Well, Lieutenant?
She's dead. Strangled to death.
Okay, the holiday's over now. Now you better get ready to answer a few questions.
George, you want me to get you something for your head?
Yeah, no one, Brooksy.
Well, we'll start with you, Leo. You admit you were out of the house when someone ran berserk in the lemon grove.
Yes, I began to worry about my little Marta. I walked everywhere looking for her. She meant so much to me.
Oh, admit it, Leo. You knew that without her there would be no act. That's all she ever meant to you.
Didn't you happen to be outside too, Risa? What have you got to say?
I can afford to be frank. I kept walking and walking, trying to forget how much I hated her.
As long as we are all being so honest. Dorian, why do you not tell the lieutenant what you were doing out of the house? Tell him how jealous of Marta you always were.
Well?
Why not? Everyone knows about it. I loved Marta, and I was jealous of every move she made. Jealous of every moment except when she was flying through the air, her hands reaching for mine. Depending on me, of all men, I would never see her hurt. You remember when she said that, Valentine?
Yeah, I remember.
What about the question, Dorian? Why did you leave the house? Where did you go?
Looking for Marta. We didn't have a minute together all day. She was always with Valentine.
Oh, fine, fine. Everybody's out for a walk when mayhem breaks out.
You aren't even listening, George. Doesn't any of this interest you?
Brooksy?
What are you doing with your nose in that magazine?
Oh, it's the show world.
Huh?
I've learned some fascinating things from it.
Oh, meaning what?
Well, for instance, Brooksy and you were right, Lieutenant.
Marta did send herself those two notes.
You mean three notes, don't you?
The third note was the Rio McCoy, Lieutenant.
Eh?
The business.
What?
And you found that out just looking at Marta's legs in that magazine?
Well, in a way, Brooksy. Now, here. Just take a look at these three notes.
I'm all eyes. What about them?
All addressed to Marta Dvorak.
Yeah, Canyon Road 58. Canyon Road 58 and 58 Canyon Road. Now, so what?
Now, take a close gander at this third note. The words for it were cut out of this page of the Show World magazine.
Well, so what?
Oh, that's right.
I turn over said page, and presto, we have a full-page photograph of Marta herself.
Yes, one of the most beautiful she ever took.
But what are you trying to say, Mr. Valentine?
This magazine was sent to Marta. Knowing her as well as we all do, I doubt that we can imagine her cutting up a picture of herself. Not in a million years.
That is right. She kept scrapbooks of the smallest items about herself. She lived on publicity.
All right,
so
what?
That's why she was so terrified when she received that third note. It was one she didn't send to herself.
Any ideas who did?
Ideas? The way I feel? No, Lieutenant. It's all yours from here on in.
Stepping aside, George? That roughing up you got must be more serious than I thought. Are you sure you're all right?
Oh, well, yeah. Gosh, I don't know, Brooksy. I'd better find out. Now, when I was a kid, every time I fell out of the apple tree, my mother used to say, George, there's one sure way of telling if you're still all right in the head.
Hey, what is this?
Yes, this is no time to hear what your mother used to say.
Yeah, Georgie, she'd say, just try to remember the Mother Goose rhymes I taught you.
But please, Mr. Valentine, how can you make jokes now?
Now, let's see if I can remember. Now, how does that one go again?
Which one, darling?
Oh, you know, the way, Mary had a little lamb. It's wool... No, that's fleece. Their fleece was white as, something or other. And wherever the little lamb would go, Mary'd be sure to follow.
Oh, that's very cute, George, but not quite the original.
Oh. Say, if I can't remember a simple nursery rhyme, I must be pretty bad. Hey, wait a minute, I'll try another.
Why must we stand here and listen to this man talk and say nothing?
That is right.
Take it easy, friends, take it easy. We'll have to wait till the coroner's through anyway. Go on, Valentine, go on. I'm willing to wait for you to make sense.
Yeah, well, I'll try. Little Miss Muffet sat on a puffet? No. A roffet? No, that's not it. Hey, Tuffet, that's it, Tuffet. Munching? No. Chewing? No, that's not it either. Eating her...
Her curds and whey, curds and whey. Any schoolchild knows that, you fool. Now, let's stop this farce. You seem to forget Marta has been killed tonight.
No, Dorian, no one's forgetting. You staged it too well.
You know better than to say that.
All right, Valentine. I've been patient up till now. Come on, give.
Tell me, Dorian, do you come from Wisconsin, Brooklyn, or Georgia?
Not that it concerns you, but I was born in Switzerland. I've never been in America before this tour.
Did all the school kiddies in Switzerland learn about Little Miss Muffet and her curds and whey?
Well, I don't know. I suppose so.
No European kid would know about curds and whey. And I think it'll be a pretty simple matter to prove you were born right here in America.
No, I... All right. What of it? I went to school in Switzerland. I pretended to be a foreigner for professional reasons. There's nothing wrong about that.
When you were a kid here in America, you learned more than nursery rhymes. When you addressed an envelope, you were taught to put the number of the house before the name of the street. That's something you never forgot. It stuck with you. And that's just what's going to hang you.
Let's have that in nice, simple language, Valentine, huh? The kind a jury will understand.
Okay, Lieutenant. The first two notes, the ones Marta wrote to herself, read Canyon Road 58. The third one she found tonight was written by Dorian, the only one in the troop not European. It read 58 Canyon Road. The number before the name of the street, Lieutenant. American style.
You know, Valentine, in my job, I see a lot of human nature, but this Dorian guy is a breed all his own.
You know, it was Marta I couldn't understand. Now I feel sorry for her.
I think I know what you mean about Dorian, Lieutenant. He had every chance to kill her when he was up there on the trapeze and get away with it.
Instead, he writes that letter and makes a super production out of it.
Jealousy. Jealousy. Had it bad, Lieutenant. Bad enough to sock me in the eye for no other reason but that I was spending so much time with her.
Well, how could anyone be jealous of a little thing like that? After all, it was just your job.
Now, the truth is, Lieutenant, a simple accident wasn't good enough for Dorian. Marta had to know she was dying and that he was killing her. That's the only way it would satisfy his bruised and battered ego.
As good an explanation as any.
You know, it's strange. Marta dreamt of having a story about herself in every newspaper in the country.
She certainly tried hard enough.
Yeah, Brooksie. And when she finally made it, it was only to let the world know that she'd never be heard of again.
Next week, when you tune our way for another adventure of George Valentine, you'll hear...
I got here as soon as I could, Brooksy. Edward's still in the club there?
Yes, George, and getting very fidgety.
All right, all right. Are you sure about that check he's carrying?
Of course. I saw the signature, Agnes Ebersole.
Good, good. Now go back inside and stick right with friend Daniel.
But what are you going to do, George?
Oh, that's the surprise, Angel. But hold your hat. Because in just about 5 minutes, I'm going to start the biggest commotion that nightclub has seen in years.
Tonight's adventure of George Valentine has been brought to you by Standard of California on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and Standard stations throughout the West. Let George Do It stars Robert Bailey as George with Francis Robinson as Claire. Wally Mayer appears as Lieutenant Riley. Tonight's story was written by David Victor and Herbert Little Jr. and directed by Don Clark. Also heard in the cast were Gene Bates as Marta, Louis Van Ruten as Leo, Don Diamond as Dorian, Peggy Weber as Risa, and Dick Ryan as the Ringmaster. The music is composed and conducted by Eddie Dunstetter.
Let George Do It, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 14th of June, 1948 on the Mutual Broadcasting System. Wrapping up this hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.